Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Matthew chapter 7, we will be reading verses 21 through 27. As we consider the theme of attitudes for renewal, we look tonight at lip service and head knowledge. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. Listen closely, this is God's word. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that your Spirit would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word. This is our humble prayer. Grant this, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the Boston Globe sent a reporter to the annual meeting of the American Heart Association. Over 300,000 doctors, nurses, and teachers at some point met in Atlanta, Georgia, and among other things, they met to discuss the importance of a low-fat diet for a healthy heart. But during mealtime, the reporter was a little nosy, and began to compare the meals of the doctors with other conventioneers from other complexes. And the reporters noticed these doctors consume just as much fat-filled food as people from the other conventions. And so the reporter asked a cardiologist if he was setting a bad example, to which he said, no, because I took my name tag off. Will we be hearers of the word or doers of the word? That's the final decision Jesus asked you and I to make in this Sermon on the Mount as he is concluding the sermon. Jesus now has reached the end of a very famous sermon, and he knows the danger of listening to a sermon without doing anything about it. He knows that if religion consists of nothing but hearing sermons week in and week out, critiquing them maybe, comparing them, or even criticizing them, then that kind of religion will do you no good on the final day. And so Jesus, in this closing section of his sermon, gives us three picture stories to urge us forward. We've been talking about them. There's the two gates, the two trees, and the two foundations. Well, today we reach the final story, and it's about being a doer of the word. Now, I find it fascinating, before we jump into this actual parable, how often this topic comes up again and again in the New Testament. The apostles learned about this problem from Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount. Then, of course, as they did ministry, they observed it in the people around them. And so they, too, with Jesus, wrote about it in the New Testament. In 1 John 1:6, John says, If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. In 1 John 2:4, he says, "He who says, 'I know him,' but disobeys his commandments is a liar." The letter of James warns about head knowledge without heart knowledge in chapter 1, and then warns about faith without works in chapter 2. And so really this evening, we are going to dive into the very sermon that inspired it all, that inspired the thoughts of the apostles as they explored the words of Jesus in their own writings. Now here, as he wraps up this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is moving from false teachers, which we talked about last week, to false listeners. Right? It's easy to point out and say, the world is filled with bad preachers and bad teachers. Well, what about bad listeners? And that's the topic Jesus moves to. And he gives us two warnings to you about being a listener. The first warning is that the first warning he says about false listeners is that they give lip service to God. The second warning is that they have head knowledge without heart knowledge. First, let's look at that first point, and that is this: do not give lip service to God. Do not give lip service to God. Verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Now, this first group of listener that Jesus is critiquing tonight are people who say they are right with God when they are not right with God. People who say they are right with God when they are not right with God. Now, the word "say" actually comes up twice in this paragraph. It says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,'" in verse 21, and then verse 22, it says, "Many will say to me on that day." And so Jesus is addressing a group of talkers. They believe that they are right with God simply because they say so, because they give lip service to God and lip service about God. Have you ever said something so many times, even though it's not true, you say it so many times that you actually believe it's true? I've done that before, and I'm ashamed to say so. And I have heard others do that as well. Often it's family members, because we hear each other talk so often. Well, phonies believe that what they say is true because they say it even when it's not. And they say it with such frequency and with such intensity and with such believability that it becomes true in their own mind when in fact it is not. They say they are right with God. They may actually believe they are right with God, but in reality they have fooled themselves and they are not right with God. Now notice how these talkers convince themselves that they are right with God by their own words. Learn from them so you don't make the same mistake. First, notice that they speak about Christ with courtesy. They speak about Christ with courtesy. Notice that they say, "Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord." Now, that is a very respectful and courteous way to speak to Jesus. It is the equivalent of saying, "My Lord," of saying, "Governor," of saying, "Sir." Don't kid yourself that you are right with God simply because you know how to pray, "O Most High and Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Courtesy makes no one a Christian. Secondly, notice that they say orthodox things about Jesus. Look again, they say, "Lord, Lord." "Lord, Lord" is more than just a courtesy call. It actually is a phrase that expresses divinity. The Greek word for Lord is kurios. In the Hebrew, that's translated from Jehovah. And so these pretenders are actually confessing the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, these pretenders could recite the Nicene Creed with a clear conscience. One can be orthodox and confess the right doctrines and still be a phony. Confessing a creed does not make one a Christian. Thirdly, notice that these talkers are also very zealous in their talk. Why, they are enthusiastic people. Their words are not cold. Their words are not formal. They are saying, Lord, Lord. There is zeal in that phrase. They are dedicated people. But dear church, a charismatic personality does not make one a Christian. Fourthly, notice that these talkers, fourthly, they speak publicly about Jesus. They are not embarrassed to tell the world that they are Christian. Some of them, if you notice in verse 22, even prophesied in Jesus' name. Now, in the Bible, prophets were preachers. They were preachers. And these prophets would either foretell a new message about God, or they would foretell an old message about God. But either way, their ministry was very public. Being public about Jesus Christ does not make one a Christian. And fifthly, notice about these talkers that their words were sometimes very spectacular. Very spectacular. Verse 22 tells us that by their words, they use their words to do miracles and cast out demons. And as they did so, they spoke the name of Jesus. But even, dear church, spectacular words spoken with spectacular events does not make one a Christian. So there's our first point. Mere words, mere lip service to God does not make one right with God. Even when the words are spoken with courtesy and with orthodoxy and with enthusiasm and with publicly and with spectacular results, words do not make one a Christian. Now, don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong at all. You see, words are necessary to be a Christian. They are. And I love, I memorized this Bible verse when I was learning the road through Romans to lead someone to salvation. One of my favorite verses, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. It says that you must confess Christ with your mouth, with your lips, if you are to be saved. But Paul adds a condition that is absent in these first century phonies. He says, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. The verse is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the King's English now, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Both are necessary. James also goes on to say, and he qualifies it to say, show us your faith by your works of righteousness, James 2:18. And you see, that is what is absent from the group of talkers. That is absent. And we see that in verse 23. Look there at verse 23. Jesus says, away from me, here it is, you evil doers. Do you see? Away from me, you evil doers. I never knew you. You who said you had faith with your lips but were evil doers. I don't know people who say they know me with their lips but do not follow me with their hearts and actions. And so Jesus here talks about those who talk about Jesus, but all the while they do evil deeds. What kind of evil deeds? Well, here, Jesus doesn't say in this parable, but if you look in the whole context of the Sermon on the Mount, from our context, it would seem that people were doing deeds that were not aligned with the Sermon on the Mount. These would be people who do not want to be poor in spirit or meek or pure or persecuted. People who dislike the Beatitudes, people who see the Beatitudes as signs of weakness. They don't want to love their enemies. They don't want to turn the other cheek or obey the golden rule or do acts of piety in secret where nobody can see. They want to be rich and powerful and beautiful and popular. And so that is the gospel they believe, and that is the Jesus they preach. And Jesus says, well, I don't recognize that Jesus. The one you profess and preach, depart from me. I never knew you. Dear church, you and I must look below the surface of our lives. We may say the right things, but do your words and faith show up by good living? Do your neighbors believe you are trying to live out the Beatitudes? I wonder what they would say if we asked them. Would our neighbors think that we are poor in spirit and merciful and compassionate? Do you forgive people or do you hold grudges? Do you handle people gently or do you judge them harshly? Back in chapter 5, verse 20 of Matthew, Jesus says, your righteousness must surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees were all words. Talk, talk, talk. Don't be a talker, be a doer. Believe in Jesus. Show your faith by doing what he says. Secondly, Jesus goes on in this sermon to say, beware of mere head knowledge. That's our second point. That's our second point. The first point was, do not give lip service to God. The second point, beware of mere head knowledge. And we look at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man, a wise man, who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I bet you children recognize this story. That's the famous story. The wise man built his house on the rock, and the rain came tumbling down. Now, here in this parable, Jesus introduces us to a second group of people, and what distinguishes this group from the first group is that they are not talkers. This parable is not about talk, talk, talk. This is not about blabbermouths who are tripping over their words about Jesus. No, in this parable, he's dealing with men of few words. You don't know what they're thinking in this parable, and they won't tell you what they're thinking in this parable, but at least you see them at church every Sunday, for in this parable, Jesus is talking about churchgoers. Well, at least he calls them listeners, because the word hear comes up twice in this paragraph. There it is. Look in verse 24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine. And so now Jesus has moved to a second group of phonies Jesus warns against. They are listeners. They listen to Jesus. They hear him regularly. And the only place I know that happens is church. People who hear sermons. People who attend Bible studies, they learn memory verses, they can even recite the catechism. He's not talking about the unchurched in this parable. He is talking about those who hear him speak on a regular basis. But sadly, Jesus points out that it is all head knowledge and not heart knowledge. So Jesus calls them fools. Or literally in the Greek, the word is moron. Moron. Because you see, they build the house of their life on sand, not on the foundation of Christ. Now, this group often appears to be wise. Their houses look like every other house in the church, clean, well-kept, nice yard, no lawn mowing on Sundays. But because the foundations of their house are hidden, you don't really know if they are a true follower of Christ until a storm comes. Until a storm comes. When the storm comes, we know. You can often tell about the integrity of faith that one has in God and in Christ through the Holy Spirit when the storms of life smack you down. When the winds of sickness start to blow. When the floods of sorrow start to roll. When the storms of poverty and grief and disappointment finally arrive, what does that person do? The faith of a pretender will utterly break down in the storms of life. Their faith will lead them to shipwreck. Because a faith that consists of nothing but hearing sermon after sermon, week after week, cannot endure the floods of tribulation. And if the storms of life do not reveal their faith, the day of judgment will. Beware of having only head knowledge and no heart knowledge. Now, like I said before, lip service and head knowledge is required to follow Jesus Christ, but they must both, head knowledge and lip service, must be accompanied by obeying Him. And so the question we leave with tonight is not, do you and I say pleasant things about Jesus? The question is not whether we know lots and lots of His teaching. The question is, do you do what you say, and do you do what you know? We call that wisdom. Knowledge applied. Now, this is not to say that the way of salvation is by good works of obedience. Oh, no. The Bible tells us salvation is only by the sheer grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But what Jesus is telling us tonight is that faith is as faith does. It's not what one says. It's not what one knows. It is what one does. So let me close by saying this, dear church. It is easy to fool the pastor. I am the most gullible human being I know. And it's taken me many years to realize this. I just impute the most positive. You can fool me. It's not a trick to fool me. Ask my wife and kids. I'm easily fooled. It is easy to fool your other friends as well. It's even easy to fool yourself, repeating something again and again over many years. We learn the right vocabulary. We know the right things. But true faith in Jesus is shown by what one does. Maybe you are the one who talks the talk because you don't want to offend your Christian family and you know they'd be disappointed in you, and so you just talk the talk. Maybe you talk the talk because you want a happy home. You know, your spouse or your family members really would just like you to get on with the program, and so you talk the talk. May I urge you to consider the words of Jesus tonight? Do you really believe? John Newton once said these words. He said, "You know, if I ever reach heaven, I expect to find three wonders there. First, to meet some I had not thought to see there. Second, to miss some I had thought to meet there. And third, the greatest wonder of all, to find myself there." Let's take inventory of our lives tonight. Do you know Christ? Or do you know about Christ? Do you walk and talk with God? Or do you ride on your Christian heritage? Is the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Do you desire those beautiful beatitudes? Do you really desire to love your enemy and turn the other cheek and walk the second mile?
Let's examine the faith in our hearts by the standards Jesus lays in this sermon. By his grace, let us be doers of the word and not hearers only. And let us all say, amen. Let's pray. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in us that would keep us from following you. Lord, under the high standards of your law, none of us measure up. It is all by the grace of Christ. But we know, O Lord, that the grace of Christ works in and through us and bears forth fruit. So we pray that you would fill our hearts with genuine, heartfelt faith that repents of sin and trusts in Christ and by your grace seeks a new life, a better way, a way that is filled with the ripe fruit of your Spirit, a way that honors your law, a way that is conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Lord, where we falter, make it painfully clear to us and renew us in the image of Christ. Lord, build faith within us all. May all who are within the hearing of my voice know you and be known by you. We ask these things in Christ's name, and let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.